Just going to be reading two verses, so two little short ones, Romans 12 and 1 and 2 for the message, and I'll be giving you some more passages later, but Romans 12, 1 to 2, and hopefully very familiar ones to you. This is God's word. Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Author by the name of Zig Ziglar writes this. Have you ever heard about the Chinese bamboo tree? The Chinese plant the seed, they water and fertilize it, but the first year, nothing happens. The second year, they water and fertilize it, and still, nothing happens. The third and fourth year, they water and fertilize it, and nothing happens. Seeing the trend here? Then the fifth year, they water and fertilize it, and sometime during the course of the fifth year, in a period of approximately 6 weeks, the Chinese bamboo grows roughly, ready for it, 90 feet. The question is, did it grow 90 feet in 6 weeks, or did it grow 90 feet in 5 years? The obvious answer is that it grew 90 feet in 5 years, because had they not applied the water and fertilizer each year, there would have been no Chinese bamboo tree. That's kind of a fascinating little fact. What I've found most intriguing when I read about that wasn't really just that rapid growth. I mean, that's phenomenal. But I was trying to think way back when that first came about, some Chinese person, man or woman there, that must have planted this bamboo seed, watered it, fertilized it for a whole year, saw nothing, and would you keep going? But still didn't give it up. Next year, watered, fertilized, nothing, still must have been thinking, come on, little seed, you can grow, one day you'll be a big tree. And to go for that process for 4 years, seeing nothing, and then one, you know, finally in the fifth year, this thing just grows like crazy. I mean, imagine the perseverance of those first people, because now, I mean, everyone knows it does that. It's different. But you think all that effort, hoping, and one day it comes to grow like crazy. And I found it just fascinating, because I think in terms of all this spiritual stuff we take in as believers, reading, prayer, worship, church, I mean, in a sense, all of this still is water and fertilizer until one day, just grow like crazy, right? You're supposed to say, no, hopefully. But as I've been talking about all this in terms of spiritual growth, it really relates to this passage. And for the last number of many months, talking about lists and all these rules and laws. And as we've been looking at some of those Old Testament lists, speaking of even my background and some of these things, from a lot of the background of even people here, we look to not only the rules of Scripture, but even all those other rules that churches have maybe added into it, and often, in a sense, adding these other rules so that people can maybe keep some of the things that we read here. And I've been doing my best to help to make sense, and that's why way back called this series Practical Holiness. Not as lists to earn salvation, to keep saved, but understanding that these commands, mostly, as I mentioned, in terms of these New Testament ones, that they are meant to be a blessing to us. So that's what God has given us here in Scripture, and as we've looked through some of these different lists, rules to live by, such that we are a holy people, and holy again meaning set apart for its intended purpose, us being set apart for God, becoming the people He intended us to be before sin. But given us in these rules, these lists to live by, so that we might be blessed as His people. Again, never for salvation, but as His people, so that we would be able to experience the blessing of holiness. And that's kind of where I left off last week in speaking about all these, a sense of being practical love, that even in the Old Testament, all those laws and some of those crazy ones that I was giving you, that they were meant to be practical to the people of Israel as God desired to bless them. And different for us because we now have the Holy Spirit, That there's a correlation between the Holy Spirit working and speaking through God's word, but also as he continues to speak in to each of us as we all have him in our lives as believers. And so another way to think about this, and I'm trying to get this to be as practical as possible, is that when it comes to Christianity, it isn't all about the future, all about heaven, all about eternity. And yes, that's the final destination. That's where all of history really leads. That's the culmination of all the glory of God as we read in Scripture. And so that part is always true, and no matter what all this life has held for as believers, the ultimate reward is in heaven. But there's still more as we read in the Bible and we look at Scripture. We see, in reality, very little said about heaven compared to what we read in terms of life now. I mean, I'm guessing you probably read and noticed that. I mean, there's a bit on heaven, and God's graciously revealed all to us as the final hope. But it's interesting because, in a sense, we see that God has given us a glimpse of that in his wisdom and grace. But if we look through Scripture, beyond that reality, certainty, splendor of heaven, awesomeness of heaven, what we really mostly find is a lot of Scripture speaking about the here and now, about his kingdom come, God working in our lives and all that God plans to do as he grows us, shapes us, molds us. Really, God's growth in our life and how that translates to us shining and being his witnesses to the world around. And so it's a fascinating, right? Because often we think Christianity, we're just like signing up, it's a ticket to heaven, right? Just life's railroad to heaven, as the old song had there. But there's very little in Scripture about that compared to all that deals with character and God's desire to work in our lives to become this holy people. And so you can just read, you know, over and over again about this transformation as the word that Paul speaks of here to the Roman church. Holiness, as it's mentioned time and time again through Scripture. The other word often is sanctification in terms, again, that's what we find over and over, God's desire, his will for us to be sanctified. And so that's what transformation really means. And we think of it often from, you know, the little butterfly as they go from the little larva there and become one day, they transform, they metamorphosis. So it really means change in form, change in appearance. And that's the very essence of holiness. That we are being changed, that we are growing spiritually in the process of becoming more like Jesus, more holy, more set apart for our intended purpose, more becoming the people God intended for us to be as his people, his children, his sons and daughters. And so this transformation, this holiness, it's not really set against the backdrop of becoming the kind of person that God will then want to love us, then want to save us. So again, no, as I've said many, many times over the series and over the years, never mention in terms of that, but all that's really built into that fabric, that fact, that truth, that we are saved by grace through faith, and now, as God's people, blessed to become holy. And it's such a different way compared to what I had grown up with and compared to maybe some of you in the past, because there's often that sense of striving, and we can do these, and if we are holy enough, God will love us and bless us. But the truth is, he looks at us as being holy, righteous, and because of that, he wants to bless us with that gift of what it really means. And so we're given these things in Scripture, and all this, again, so much of Scripture, New Testament, look here, deals with that aspect of that transformation. All those character things, what God's looking to do in our lives through the Holy Spirit, and then as that extends, as we begin to shine and be a blessing, not only to ourselves, but to all those around. And so that's, in a sense, God meeting us in the present. And mentioned earlier in our call to worship there, that Matthew 6 Sermon on the Mount verse, part of the Lord's Prayer, really speaks in terms of thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You notice that reminder, it's not just the future, but God's desire to come and to be active in our lives today and changing us. His kingdom reign, not just in terms of all that the future holds, But it is working in our lives in the blessed transformation that comes through holiness. You know, meaning, what am I meaning really in terms of that? Well, there's good things meant to be in the here and now. And I don't mean by that the health and wealth gospel. Sadly, that's often preached and people buy into it. And when you look at that, the only ones who are making the wealth are those who are preaching it. And that's not saying here, not that there can't be those blessings, but it really speaks of this sense of God coming, looking to change and do good things, great things in our lives, the blessing of this transformation. And that spiritual growth, that holiness, is meant to somehow be experienced in the here and now, part of the blessing, part of this tidbit of heaven, as I title this message, of what God means to give in a life so that we are, as his children, holy, set apart, different as the people that he's made us to be. And I've been using the one example and mentioned over the months, you know, someone as myself dealing with worry or whatever, stress that way, in a sense, that your mind can just race and you don't just think of all that's, you know, might happen, but even things beyond that. It's something, in a sense, that deals then with the opposite of what Scripture speaks in regards to peace. In the passage mentioning from Philippians 4, this peace that goes beyond understanding. This peace that is there when there is really no reason to have peace. Well, isn't that a part of this as holiness, as I've mentioned? This is that tidbit of heaven, as I'm calling it here. This blessing of heaven, this outcome of following him and allowing him to transform our lives. So not holiness ever to win that approval, be his child, but now because we're his children, God's desire to bless us with these good gifts that are a part of holiness. And in terms of enjoying part of heaven in the here and now, meaning that I can enjoy more peace as I'm more transformed. I don't ever recall hearing that growing up and never associating that with holiness. But again, more peace as more Holy Spirit comes into my life, more Holy Spirit, more holiness. That this all flows together in terms of that. Romans 4, speaking of Abraham's faith in verse 18, saying that against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. Peace and hope. Romans 8, looking to future glory as well, they're saying, by this hope we are saved. 15:13, may the God of hope fill you. So I think that's part, we look, the tidbit of heaven, there's peace of God, but there's even hope. And hope not just as we look to the future, but hope in the here and now. And there's a neat little article I'm just going to read to you in Charles Colson, Chuck Colson, maybe you remember his name, those going back enough, part of the Watergate scandal down there, right, with Richard Nixon, and spent time in prison, late became a believer and founder of Prison Fellowship Ministry. And he writes this really interesting article that came across as, journalist Ted Conover wanted to write about America's prisons, but he didn't interview guards and inmates to get the story. He wanted the inside scoop, so he went behind bars. No, he didn't commit a crime. He went on the payroll at a maximum security prison. After a year as a corrections officer at Sing Sing, Conover wrote New Jack, Guarding Sing Sing, a book that affirms what prison fellowship has proclaimed for 25 years. Only faith can make the difference in America's darkest places. Originally built in 1828, Sing Sing is one of America's most storied prisons. When French historian Alexis de Tocqueville visited there in 1831, he observed that while society in the United States gives example of the most extended liberty, the prisons in the same country offer the spectacle of the most complete despotism. Unfortunately, Tocqueville's words still ring true today. Conover discovered that not only do our prisons dehumanize offenders, they sow seeds of inhumanity in the hearts of correction officials as well. Despite his best efforts, and even though he knew his time there was short, Conover was deeply disturbed by the experience. He became a man his wife and children did not recognize. What did Conover conclude about our penal system? In an interview with Diane Rehm on National Public Radio, Conover offered two observations. First, our system is in desperate need of reform. America's growing prison population illustrates an absurd over-reliance on incarceration. He's right, of course. Prison is a blunt instrument that doesn't suit all crimes and all offenders. The one-size jail cell truly does not fit all, which is why Prison Fellowship has pursued and supported efforts to find alternative sentencing options. Second, this is the part that I found fascinating, only religion made a lasting difference in inmates' lives. Conover found the religious prisoners were the only ones with hope. Why is it so fascinating? As he writes, Conover's book is a great apologist for the Christian faith written by a secular journalist. I mean, it's coming going with no faith, looking at all that's happening, sees the only prisoners in this system that are seeing some change, having that sense of hope, are the ones who are religious. It's remarkable in terms of all that. And that's really, as we look at the blessing in the here and now, God coming to move in our lives, bring about a peace that goes beyond understanding, give us a sense of hope in the midst of all those things that are happening in life that is somehow different when we look compared to the rest of the world. That's the blessing of holiness. Because while the destination of the journey has changed, right? And we journey still through the same land of suffering and trial, pain, death, as those who don't believe. That's the truth, right? And we might have the final destination in heaven as we look to all that, that sense of hope. But in the midst of our present journey, we go through the same sense of difficulty, pain, suffering, all those things, death, just like those who don't believe. As I mentioned last week, it rains on the just and unjust, as Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. Sun shines on the wicked and the righteous, all the same, right? So while the journey may be the same, the way we journey, however, can and is meant to be different because we know God, we are His children, and because we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And that's what's meant by these tidbits of heaven. That's heaven coming to earth, thy kingdom come, God coming, working the lives of His people, filling us with peace, giving us hope, comforting us, encouraging us, and doing all those things that are meant to be a part of this holiness. And so while we're on the same journey as everybody else, and the way may be difficult, we can know and we trust the guide and all that He's doing in our lives. And that's the blessing of this transformation as we find and we look and we read. And even this passage from Romans 12, if you remember maybe a couple months back, the last half of Romans 12 was what I was reading in terms of one of these lists that talk about all these commands. Things from love being sincere, hating evil, clinging to what is good. All these things are spoken of in command statements. But the very beginning and essence of this begins with that sense of a transformation to be able to get us there. 2 Corinthians 4, it says this in verses 8 and 9. It says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. And then in verse 16, as Paul writes, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. That's part of this blessing of God, that promise He gives, right? The truth of what Scripture speaks. Because if we look at all these things and list God's guidance that's given there, it's really meant to be that blessing in our lives as well for the here and now. It's not just the hope of heaven, but it's heaven come to earth as He works in our lives and blesses us with this gift, this transformation, this spiritual growth. And with that, more peace, more love, more joy, more all the rest of the fruit of the Spirit, more hope, more strength, more perseverance, all of this as part of the blessing of God. You know, Colossians 1, 10 and 12, and it says this, and we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. Again, that sounds like holiness, like spiritual transformation. Growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that what? so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share an inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. You know, that's the practicality of holiness, is in that blessing that we're filled with this hope, this strength, with grace, perseverance, even in the midst of this journey of life. And you look now around the world, and I can only think, wow, does the world ever need hope right now? I don't think there's a worse time in maybe history. I mean, again, I can only relate to this one. But as you look in terms of feeling hopeless, I mean, you look at the general sense of the world, if they're not talking about climate disaster at the rate, like climate catastrophe, world's going to end if we don't do something. And then you're watching news and you're seeing that sounds like World War III just waiting to happen and brewing. It's a pretty despairing time. And I've seen these interviews of people, and they think in terms of how many think there's going to be some world war like in their time, and it's high for young people. But it's saying here in Scripture, somehow there's still something different in the lives of us as God's people, believers, not only in terms of looking, yeah, one day I'll fly away, right? I'm away from all this stuff. But the, yeah, here in the now, and as He works in our lives in practical way, there's going to be something that's changed inside of us and be different. That blessing of that holiness, that's the practicality of more hope, more strength, more joy that somehow then goes beyond us to be a blessing to those around us. God's gift to us, more of His Spirit working us, making a difference in our lives, practical difference that we can enjoy. And so it's just a reminder in terms as we look, as we think about what it's meant to be, holiness. It's a gift of God to us and a gift that extends to those around us and to the world around us. Let me give you a little funny story here by Clyde Murdoch. And if you ever milk cows, or milk probably anything really, you could relate to this. And how many cow milkers over the course of time? Most people? Some? At least. If you relate to this. But he's speaking in terms of an article, right, it's an anger and self-control. So I could relate to this one growing up milking cows. The more heated the disagreement, the more our inner steam bank builds to the breaking point. And is all we can do to keep a level head through the whole explosive episode. This reminds me of the Quaker, so you know the Quaker religious people, who owned an ornery cow. Every time he milked her, it was the clash of two wills. This particular morning, she was unusually irritable, but he was determined to endure the session without so much as a cross word. As the farmer began to milk her, old Bossy stepped on his foot with all her weight. He struggled silently, groaned a little under his breath, pulled his foot free, then sat back down on the stool. She then swished her tail in his face like a long string whip. He merely leaned away so it wouldn't be able to reach him. Next, she kicked over the bucket, by then half full of warm milk. He started over, mumbling a few words to himself, but he never lost his cool. Once finished with the ordeal, he breathed a sigh of relief, picked up the bucket and stool, and as he was leaving, she hauled off and kicked him against a barn wall 12 to 15 feet away. That did it. He stood to his feet, marched in front of his cow, stared into those big eyes, and as he shook a long bony finger in his face, he shouted, "Thou dost know that I am a Quaker. Thou dost know also that I cannot strike thee back, but I can sell thee to a Presbyterian." Whatever the journey that we are going through, God knows, right? And He knows that we are facing and will face many difficulties along the way. Everyone does. And that's part of this journey on earth. But the more that we are transformed as the Spirit lives in us and changes us, and in God's grace, that's meant to be a part of His blessing, that we will have a greater sense of this peace and joy, all this gift of what the Holy Spirit means. And in His grace and strength, that we will be able to better face all those different things that come our way. A better sense of just trusting, knowing Him. As we have that, the more that we continue to grow and the more that we will enjoy the benefit of all this fruit. That's what I mean by this, is kingdom come, tidbits of heaven, heaven meets earth. The blessed consequence, if you would use that word, the practical outcome, the reward of holiness. Right? I mean, we look consequences of sin, but there are also consequences, reward, blessing of holiness. So as I've been challenging you in all these last weeks, I mean, what is he wanting to do in you so that you may experience more of what he has in mind for you as his child? C.S. Lewis, he wrote this in a book. If Satan's arsenal of weapons were restricted to a single one, it would be discouragement. There's truth to that, right? I mean, my prayer is that you'd be encouraged today through this, wherever you're at in life, whatever has taken place in your life and the lives of those around you. And reminded of the goodness of God, right? The blessing from heaven, his kingdom come, that there is something that he wants to do in our lives and change the blessing of hope and peace that we have as people as part of his goodness. And that he has so much more in store for our lives as we come and let him do that good work in us. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for your word. And as we look at some of these passages and reflect even on in a general sense over these lists that we've been talking about, these rules, commands, and to understand that there is a sense as we might reflect, as I said, the consequences of sin, but there's the consequences of holiness, of following you and the Spirit working in our lives, bringing about greater peace, bringing about a greater sense of hope. And so in your gentleness, in your goodness, in your grace, continue just to lead us toward that. And the songs that we sang earlier in speaking of that springs of living water, that was meant to be that blessing, that outpouring of how your Spirit comes and works in our lives as it bubbles inside of us and bubbles forth to even those around us. So remind us of that truth and how you have in mind through these different things in our lives to continue just to mold us, to transform us as a blessing and to become the people who we were meant to be before sin came and tarnished that. So continue just to lead us and guide us. Pray all this in Christ's name.